Amen. If you want to, you can take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 27. I'm going Old Testament on you today. Genesis chapter 27. Now, this is a message. I'm going to be honest with you. I've been working on it for about 3 weeks. So that means I got a lot to say. But I'm going to shorten it down. I heard somebody go, oh no. Listen, Genesis chapter 27, verses 18 and 19. And then we're also going to skip down and read verses 26 through 29. If you're there, say, I am. If you're not, say, hold up. Okay, I got one. There we go. I'll wait on you. That's all right. That's all right. All right. Now, we ready? If you're there, say, I am. If you're not, say, hold up. All right, we're good to go. Genesis chapter 27, verses 18 and 19 says this. So he went in, and now who is he? It is Jacob. Jacob and Esau are the twins. This is the story of Jacob and Esau who are twins. It says, so he went in to his father and said, my father. And he, being Isaac, said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Basically, he's going, what's your name? He said, what's your name? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me, and now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. Now skip down to verse 26, and it says, then his father Isaac said to him, come near and kiss me, my son. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, now the reason why he said the smell of the garment is because Esau liked to hunt. He liked the outdoors. How many of y'all like outdoors? I love the outdoors. I know somebody that whenever they went out and they would cut grass or they'd been outside, they would come inside and their wife hated the smell of the outdoors. And they would come up and give their wife a hug and she'd go, ooh, you smell like outside. Well, Isaac loved that. So he smelled his son. He wanted to make sure it was Esau. But Jacob was wearing Esau's clothes. It said, see, this is in verse 27. So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you. And nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be anyone who curses you, and blessed be anyone who blesses you. Let's pray. Father God, today as we go throughout this message, I pray that you would help me to convey your message the way it needs to be given. That God, you would help my words to be few, your words to be powerful, and that God, you would teach us how to receive a blessing today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. If you're taking notes, you can title this, In Search of a Blessing. Now, this whole story, from the moment that we arrive on this earth, we begin to develop who we are. We begin to develop personalities. Now, how many of you got kids, they got their own personalities, right? How many of you want to slap that personality someday? No, you better not raise your hand on that one. But the thing is, we start to develop our own personality. As we grow and we get older, we begin to pick up personality traits that we learn from our parents. How many of you see some things in yourself that you saw in your parents? How many of you see some things you'd rather get rid of that were in yourself? Okay, young people, y'all put your hands down. Y'all still got to go home with them, okay? But every day as I watch my kids grow, I can see habits and idiosyncrasies that they have picked up from over the years of watching me and their mother. My daughter, when she was first born, okay, we were in Okeechobee, Florida, and my daughter, I don't know where it came from, and she was less than a year old, and I would fall asleep on the bed, and I would always fall asleep, my arm back like this, my legs crossed like this, and Shelby was laying next to me one day, and I fell asleep like that. And again, she's less than a year old. And Amy walked in, and me and Shelby both are propped up both the exact same way. There are things that you get from your parents naturally, right? There's one thing that I got from my dad naturally that I really wish I did not have, and that's high blood pressure. It has caught up to me. I was telling the worship team earlier that years ago, probably 10 years ago, the doctor told me, if you lose a little weight, it'll probably go away on you. because you just need to lose, probably 10, 12 years ago. And so I cut out Cokes, and I don't drink Cokes anymore. Well, I lost the weight, and it sort of went away for a little bit, and now it's come back, and it's come back with a vengeance. And the doc said, hey, it's genetics, brother. There ain't nothing you can do about it now. You just got to deal with it and take the medicine, right? All the nurses say, yep. But the thing is, I don't want that from my dad, but I still have it. There are other things that I do enjoy getting from my parents. My dad's work ethic. My dad worked like a mule. And he worked constantly with U.S. He worked at U.S. Steel. And he was there during the whole lockout, strike era, and all that kind of stuff. And he was there during that. And he also ran a business. He had some other things. That when he didn't have a job, he sold fruit on the side of the road. He would just go to the farmer's market, buy fruit, go over to our hometown, and he would just sell fruit. That was his work ethic. There are things that you pick up. There are things that you pick up from people. DJ picked some things up from me. Definitely not his height. He did not get that from me. He got that from somebody else. His strength, he got from somebody else. I'm stout, but I ain't as stout as he is. But there are some things they did get from me, like his sense of humor. Some of it, anyway. Now, and then also, see, there are things that he learned from me. Like when I picked him up from middle school, I would pick on him at middle school. I'd pick on him. I'd punch him in the arm, and I'm making him tough. I'm sitting there thinking, I'm making him tough. I wish I didn't punch him so much now. Because now he comes into the room, and he starts coming in on me, and he towers over me now. So he walks up to me, and he'll like if I'm sitting in that chair, he'll come up to me like this. And all I hear are some words come out of my mouth that says, don't hurt me. And it's just a reflex with me now. I just say, don't hurt me, please. And so he picked that up from me on picking at me and having fun with me. So he gets that from me. Now we get to the house, and he does all that with me. And we become a lot like the people that we're around and we pour our lives into, right? But we don't become an exact carbon copy because we want to be our own people, right, young people? You want to be your own person. You don't want people to go, so it'd be looking at you all the time and say, oh, well, you're so-and-so's son, or you're so-and-so's daughter. You want them to know you by name. You want them to know you by who you are, who you have become, and your things. Why? Because we want to be our own person. We want to discover who we are. It is why we try different things, and it's our nature to struggle against doing everything like everybody else, especially the negative things. But it's amazing how smart. See, we sit there and I don't want to be like my parents. How many of y'all ever said that when you were younger? I'm not going to do that. I ain't going to do it this way. Y'all raise your hand now. You just wait a few years. Because your parents, all of a sudden, when you reach a certain age and you get out on your own, your parents become the smartest people in the world. Mom, Dad, I am so sorry about how stupid I was when I was younger. But your parents become so smart when you get older. It's amazing how smart they become when the older we get. I hear things come out of my mouth today that I said I would never say. You just wait till I get home, Dad. And I'm wondering, what in the world? All those things. Now, Jacob is a man in Genesis whose life was turned upside down from the start. Jacob was a man who turned his life, whose life got turned upside down from the start. For the sake of time, I'm going to give you the PASV of his story. That is the Pastor Aaron Standard Version. Okay? The PASV is this. Jacob and Esau were twins. They were both in the womb. Inside of the womb, they were fighting each other. They were kicking and scratching and sort of like your kids do when they're in the back seat. He's on my side. And he's touching me. Oh, he's got my umbilical. Or anyway, I'm not going to go there. But they're sitting there fighting inside of the womb and everything. And their mother, Rebecca, finally, she goes, what in the world is going on? She goes and she inquires of the Lord. And the Lord gives her a prophecy about Jacob. The Lord gives her a prophecy about Jacob. And that's found let me see, where was I at? I've done lost it. Well, anyway, he cheated, and they were fighting, and there was a blessing over him. And then they finally came out. There was a prophecy given that the younger would rule over the older. And they came out, and next thing you know, he came out grabbing the heel, or grabbing the heel of Esau. And so he was named Jacob. He was named Jacob because that word Jacob meant deceiver, it meant heel grabber, it meant supplanter. Okay, it meant liar. That's what it meant. So that's what he was named. So he goes through and he ends up stealing the birthright from his brother Esau. Now, what the birthright is, that is, I'm giving you a little bit of history. I know this is the boring part of this, but you're going to have to hang with me on this. The birthright, what it is, that's the larger portion of the inheritance that he was going to get from his father. That's supposed to go to the firstborn. It's the larger portion. Then he stole all of that with a bowl of stew. He made a deal with Esau, said, hey, I'll give you this bowl of stew if you give me your birthright. And Esau, being dummy, going, I'm so hungry, I want it. So he ended up giving his birthright away. And the Bible says that he despised his birthright. And then, in collusion with his mother, he stole the blessing that was meant for his brother Esau, by pretending to be Esau in front of his father. The blessing is the blessing that God gave Abraham way back in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. In Genesis 12, 1 through 3, it says this. This is part of the blessing that he received. He received his own blessing, but he got part of this blessing as well. I will make you, this verses 1 through 3, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. That's what he told Abraham. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you and whoever curses you will curse you. That sounds familiar to something that they just said about Jacob. I bless those who curse you, and all peoples of earth will be blessed through you. Now, this blessing is where I want to start today, because I want you to know that God has pronounced a blessing over every person in this room. He has pronounced a blessing over everyone here and over every person that is watching online. Thank you for joining us today. Now, do not doubt that God has great things in store for you. Turn to somebody next to you and say, he's got big things for you. Turn to the person on the other side and say, you too. Now listen, I'm not saying that God is pronouncing the same blessing over you, that you are going to multiply and that your descendants are going to be as great as the sands of the sea and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that. Now, some of y'all are going, thank you, Jesus, I don't want any more kids. But if you want to be like the Duggars and have 24 kids and 3 parakeets, have at it. Okay, if you want to do something like that, you go right ahead. That's not me. I'm glad God did not give me that blessing. I have my 2 kids, and I am satisfied with my 2 kids and then my 2 fur babies. And then that's it. That factory is gone, and we're done. What I can tell you is that there are blessings that he has pronounced over the years that do apply to you. Oh, come on. You want to hear about some of them? You want to hear about some of the blessings? Here's one of the blessings that he's pronounced over you. Now, he was speaking to Jeremiah when he said this, but this transcends time and space down to you too in Jeremiah 29:11, where it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope, a future and a hope. In other words, I got good stuff for you, son. I got good stuff for you, daughter. Be ready, because it's coming. Amen. How many of y'all receive that in the name of Jesus? We're in search of a blessing today. We're in search of that promise and that blessing. Philippians 1:6, here's another one. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus Christ. God is not going to leave you where you are. God made a promise and a declaration and a blessing over you that says, listen, you may be at this point in your life, but I'm not leaving you over here unfinished. I'm taking you all the way down to completion. I'm not going to leave you over here wondering whether you're going to make it or not. I'm going to bring you all the way through. Now, there may be a lot of twists and turns on the way, but my blessing is going to take you to the end. I will complete every promise that I've spoken over you. That right there is a blessing. Come on and give God praise. Okay. The 5 of you that are excited about that, y'all can come and talk to me after service. But And then there's another one, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Keep your life free from the love of money. Now, you know, you're always going, now, I don't know about that. That's not about it. But listen to the next part. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what that tells me? That tells me money ain't your problem. Because you know the Father that owns the cattle of a thousand hills. You know the one who can provide every need in an instant. You know the one that can change the course of history with just the breath that comes out of his mouth. You know the one that can change everything. You ain't got to worry about whether the stock market crashes or not. You ain't got to worry about whether your job is downsizing or not. Because your provider is not your job. Your provider is not the government. Your provider is not even your boss. Your provider is the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. And the one that can write checks beyond anything that they can write. Come on. All of y'all are sitting there like, it's about time we got an uplifted message like this. You've been beating us up, Pastor. Listen, we're going to get there. I'm going to beat you up a little bit later. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Listen, God is not hiding his blessing from you. God did not bury his blessings and say, okay, if you can find it, you can have it. He's not playing hide and seek with you. He's not saying, if you do everything perfectly, then everything's going to work out right. He loves you no matter what. His blessings are true whether we are or not. Oh, come on. Aren't you glad that his faithfulness is not contingent on our obedience? He is such an awesome being and such an awesome God and such an awesome Father that he loves us. Every promise, every blessing, every good thing that God desires in your life has been spelled out in his word. If you're wondering where God is and what God has really spoken over you, let me ask you something. When's the last time you cracked his word open? When's the last time you looked for a blessing inside of his word? When's the last time you looked for the promises of God? There, you can get online right now and put in promises of God, and it'll bring up all kinds of scriptures that you can just start quoting over life. Now, listen to me. I'm trying not to jump ahead. God help me. Listen, one of the issues we have as the people of God is that we don't take a look at the owner's manual for this gift we've been given called life. Where is the owner's manual? It's the Bible. The Bible is our owner's manual. It is what tells us what we need to do. When you get a new appliance or some new piece of equipment at the house or maybe a piece of furniture that you're supposed to put together, what is the first thing you're supposed to do? Read the manual or look at the directions. Look at the instructions. But what do, especially men? I don't need these. And you throw it out the window. 3 hours later, when you can't put the thing together right, you go out, find them, and you go, oh, that's what I was supposed to do. Too many of us, we do that with our own personal lives. We sit there and we go, I know how to live my life. I know how to get a good job. I know how to be blessed. I know how to have block promises. I know how to run my life. I know how to run my family. And then all of a sudden, when everything is in chaos, we go, uh-oh. And then we go, God, you got to help me. And God said, where's your owner's manual? What? Open it up and take a look. Because it'll help you straighten everything out. Now we got to deal with the earthly consequences, but it'll help you straighten it out. There are promises and power and wisdom available to us right now that we never knew were there because we were content to hear about God's word and God's promises from a preacher or a pastor or a teacher in Sunday school and not from the voice of God himself. The promises of God are wrapped up in the world's longest love letter, and it's called the Bible. He shares with you every plan, every detail. He has an answer for every question that you've got. Listen to me, church. I still miss it sometimes as a pastor. I'm not perfect. You didn't have to say that so loud. I'm joking. I'm joking. I've made mistakes in my life. And I make mistakes when I'm preaching. I remember preaching a message one time, and I've made a mistake and said something I should not have said. And I had to go back the next week and said, "Hey, you know what? I did some study, and this was wrong that I shared with you last week." Don't take my word for it. Go home, open your Bible, or turn on your Bible, and read it for yourself. Study it for yourself. If you come up with something that's different, come and speak to me about it, and we'll flesh it out together. And if I'm wrong, I'll look at you and say, "I'm wrong, brother. I'm wrong, sister. And I'm glad you brought that to my attention." And hopefully you would do the same thing if it turns out that I was right. That doesn't happen very often, but every now and then it does happen. Listen, search out the Word of God and discover the true blessings He has in store for you and and your children. Look for it. The ones that say that you're an overcomer when you feel like you're going under. The ones that say you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover in the midst of sickness. The ones that, your blessing is already waiting on you the same way that Jacob's blessing was. Jacob's blessing was given to him before he ever received it from Esau. You understand that, right? It all started with a prophecy. This is where I was going earlier, and I jumped ahead of myself. It all started with a prophecy over Jacob and his twin brother Esau while he was still in the womb. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, got pregnant, but something was different about this pregnancy. Like I said, they were fighting in the womb. You could see them boys' faces pressed up against the belly and all that kind of stuff. You know how you see the feet and all that kind of stuff? Some people, it grosses them out. Some people are like, "Man, that is the coolest thing in the world." And I love it. But they sitting there fighting back and forth. She went and inquired of the Lord in Genesis 25:23. Says this, "And the Lord said to her, 'Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger.'" Right there, it tells us that the spiritual blessing will be on the younger of the two brothers. God declared it before He ever stole it. God declared it. I will say that. God declared it before he ever tried to steal it. Now, we're going to get to Him stealing here in just a minute. But I want you to know something. Before Jacob was born, his blessing was decreed. It could not be stolen or taken away from him. When God declares something over our lives, the only thing that is required of us is to believe it and have faith in the giver of the promise. That's all Jacob really needed to do, was believe that the promise was true. That's all he was really supposed to do, was believe the promise was true. You and I are just like Jacob. We have promises and blessings and declarations over our lives that no enemy can destroy, no one can steal, and that God has bound to His Word. And God is always bound to His Word. Numbers 23:19. "God is not man that He should lie, or the son of or a son of man that He should change His mind. He said it." I love the way this puts it right here. "He has said it." Has He said it and He will not do it? Or has He spoken and He will not fulfill it? In other words, God said it, leave it alone. Believe it. It's written in the Word. It's written in stone. It cannot change. If God decreed it over you, you cannot change it. God never repeals a blessing. Amen. Now, some of y'all may argue with me on that. Well, what if you walk away from God? God never repeals His blessing, but we can walk away from it. We can walk out from underneath His protection. We can walk away from a relationship with Him. He never moves. It's when we decide to walk away from Him, that's when that blessing changes. That's when we walk away from it. If you understand me, say, "I do." Are y'all getting anything out of this? Good. God has been speaking over His people, you and me, since the beginning of time. He has promised He would go with us even when the odds are against us. Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He was speaking to Joshua, but it speaks through the ages to us today. If he did it then, he can do it again. He will be with us. Turn to somebody and say, he's with you. He has promised that he will be our strength when we feel like our strength has left us. In Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Oh, come on, church. Come on, can we just praise him for a minute? God, thank you that we can't do it in our own strength, but we have the strength of God. We have the strength of our Savior, our healer, our restorer, in Jesus' name. See, we walk under the blessing no matter what we've done in our lives. His love for us will never change. The blessing of this one blessing will never change. It's the blessing of grace. Oh, church, we walk under grace. We walk under grace. Aren't you glad you don't have to deal with judgment, but God gives you grace? He doesn't give you what you deserve. He gives you what we never should have had. He gives us what we never should have had. Romans 8:38 and 39, for I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me. I don't care what this world tells you. I don't care what it tells you about how bad you are or what things you have done in your past. I don't care what this world says about nobody will love you because of your past and because of what you've done in your life. It doesn't matter. God still looks down and says, it doesn't matter what you've done. Nothing can stand between me and you except for your own life, except for you deciding you don't want me there. Our decision is the only thing that can keep him from us if we walk away. The blessing is there for us. If you understand me, say, I do. That blessing of grace is for each one of us. Now, I'm not saying we need to be a name it, claim it kind of generation. We don't look going down the road at a truck that we like and say, in the name of Jesus, I claim that truck. No, that's not the kind of blessing I'm talking about. In the name of Jesus, I claim this, and I claim this house, I claim this job, I claim this money, I claim this situation. That's not what I'm talking about. We don't need to be a name it, claim it kind of people. We do not control how God fulfills the blessings and the promises he has in our lives. We don't control it. It's not up to you to make it happen. We cannot pull a scripture out of context and make it fit our theology and hold on to God. We can't pull it out. My God said that I will, that he shall supply all my needs. So that means I'm going to have money. No. That ain't what it means. What it means is that he's going to make sure that you can survive. Can I tell you something? If you got problems that can be solved by money, then you ain't got problems. My father-in-law has said that for years. I'll give him credit. Joel Fault. He has said that for years. If you've got problems that can be solved by a dollar bill, then you ain't got problems. You go talk to somebody in Ukraine right now who's wondering if they're going to live the next 24 hours. You wonder if you got problems. Are you with me? We can't make our blessings happen. We can't make it happen. How much easier would that be? If we could just automatically just the instant success that we could have. If we could just blink our eyes and say, okay, I'm a success, boom. And all of a sudden we've got all the riches. We've got all the money. We've got all the bass boats and all the trucks and all the houses. We've got the trips, the free trips everywhere. Those successes. Listen, the instant success or that instant growth when we think God is moving too slow. How many of y'all have ever thought God was moving too slow in your life? Uh-huh. Can I share something with you? I love my kids. I really, really do. I love them, but there were times in my life I prayed that God would just hit the fast forward button? Like diaper time? Beep! Hit fast forward. I don't want to deal with that explosive stuff and all that kind of thing. I would have loved to have hit the fast forward button during all of that. I would have loved to hit fast forward during the terrible twos. Oh, Lord, some of them last until the terrible fours. Some of them, they keep going to the terrible 18s. He ain't there yet. But the thing, I would love to have hit fast forward, but you know what? I would have missed so much. And I would have lost a lot of knowledge along the way. I would have lost a lot of it. What if our lives were nothing but a highlight reel? We can't live on top of a mountain the entire time. Because it's when we're in those valleys is when we actually learn the life, learn the lessons that we can actually survive to make it up to our next valley. I mean, up to our next mountain. Jacob tried to fast forward his blessing to make it happen himself. This is the reason why I'm here. We can't make our blessings happen. Jacob tried to make it happen. I'm sure that his mother had told him about the prophecy about Jacob, listen, honey, you're going to be a superstar. You're going to be awesome. And nations are going to follow you. And you're going to be blessed. I'm sure she told him from the time he could understand. Because we all know mamas like to dote on their babies, right? And you're going to be blessed, son. You're going to take, they're going to take care of you. And you're going to be awesome. And all this other kind of stuff. I'm sure she told him. And the thing is, it got into his head. And it was even her idea to dupe his dad when she heard that Isaac was going to give the blessing to Esau. She said, oh, no, this ain't going to happen. And in Genesis 27:5-6, she got involved and said, now, Rebecca was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt the game and bring it, Rebecca said to her son, Jacob, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. And they hatched this whole plan about how to take the blessing out from underneath Esau. Again, they were trying to make the blessing of God happen. But it wasn't time yet. They tried to make it happen. See, some of y'all are sitting there going, man, I just thought I had problems in my family. This family was messed up. It was messed up. They tried to force God's plan into action their way instead of waiting on God's timing. Has anybody else ever done that in your own life? You tried to force God to make something happen. When we try and help God fulfill his promises for us, we are taking the blessing out of God's hands and putting it in our own. We are substituting a human blessing for a godly blessing. And I'd rather have a godly blessing any day. We as humans tend to mess things up. We get impatient, and as we watch the world move on, the people around us get theirs. We go, why can't I have that? I know God said I was going to have it later on, but I want it now. It's my money, and I want it now. It's my blessing, and I want it now. That was Jacob's mantra. It's my blessing, and I want it now. So he dressed up like Esau. Esau was a hairy guy. So they took goat skin and they put goat skin on his arms and put it on his neck. Made him really hairy. Made him wear Esau's clothes that had the smell of the outdoors on him. And he went in with a goat that they had prepared and gave it to Isaac to eat. He was playing dress up, pretending to be something he wasn't. How many of us are walking through this world playing dress up with the world around us, trying to fit in and trying to make sure that we get what the world says that we deserve, so we make sure we look the part? Oh, come on. You with me? We're putting on the dresses and the suits and the whatever it is that we think that the world thinks we should be wearing, and we're asking for a blessing from the world. We start playing dress up and trying to fit into the mold that we think that they need. Jacob dressed up as Esau, seeking his blessing. And he sought a blessing from a worldly father. Now, that's not a wrong thing to do, but he sought a blessing from a worldly father when his heavenly father had already given them the blessing. He was searching for a substitute. Can I encourage you, church? Don't settle for a substitute for what God has spoken over your life. Don't try to make it happen. Accept it when it comes. Now, yes, we get out and we follow God's instructions and we do what he tells us to do and we follow what he wants us to do. But the thing is, his blessing will come in his own time. He compromised who he was in order to receive a blessing from his father Isaac when God chose to bless him as his true self when he was in the womb. Some of us are in this room are compromising who we are so that we can be blessed in this world when God has already spoken a blessing over you and we're rejecting it because it's going to come later. Can I ask you a question? What costume are you putting on? What costume are you putting on today? Who are you pretending to be for this world? Who do you pretend to be for the world so that they will accept you and love you and bless you? God's not hiding his blessings from you. They are written in the world's longest love letter. All we have to do is read it and find them. They are already waiting on you and yours to claim at the right time, and it's God's timing, not ours. I know the plans I have for you. I know where you're going. I know you're lonely and you want somebody in your life, but know this. My plan is for you to fall in love with me first. I feel like God's saying that this morning. God, fall in love with me before you fall in love with that. Fall in love with who I am before you fall in love with the blessing I'm going to send you. Don't accept a substitute. Don't try to make a worldly blessing fit into a godly blessing. We cannot make those blessings and promises be fulfilled when we want them. There's a quote that we had from Wednesday night, this past Wednesday. Again, if you're not here on Wednesday nights, you're missing out. There's a quote from this past Wednesday night that said, God doesn't need our advice on fulfilling promises to us. He just needs the faith that he will fulfill the promise. He doesn't need our advice or our help in order for things to happen in our lives. All he needs is us to believe that he's going to bless us and to have faith and to obey him. If you would stand with me today as I finish. Stop seeking a substitute blessing from the world. Take off the mask and the things that the world deems necessary. Be like Abraham. Be like Abraham. In Romans 4:3, it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. We're in search of a blessing. But when you find that blessing in the scripture, when you find what he's speaking over you, don't sit there and try to make it happen. Just believe and have it credited to you as righteousness. See, before I let you go, I want to tell you the end of the story. Jacob received the blessing from his father, and it didn't quite go according to plan. From that moment on, the way Jacob lived was through trickery, deceit, and fear of his life. Until one night. From that moment on, imagine the last time that you got to speak to your father. Until moments before his death was when you stole something from him. And immediately Esau started hating his brother and tried to kill him. his deceit and him trying to step into a blessing before it was time tore his family apart. And the rest of his life, he had to live through trickery. He even got duped himself when he went to go and marry the woman that he wanted to marry. And the father, Laban, ended up tricking him into marrying the other child first. Can I tell you something? When you live a life of trickery, you're going to fall into it. And it's going to be used against you. When you step into the wrong blessing, it ends up not being a blessing. He thought he was receiving a blessing, but then one night. See, worldly blessings promise one thing and give another. But years later, Jacob had an encounter with a man that he wrestled one night. Even though the Bible says that his hip was wrenched, in other words, it was pulled out of socket, he held on to this man. Who was actually God, is what the Bible tells us. It was actually God that he was holding on to. And said, I will not let you go until you bless me. He was determined to have a blessing. And what I find ironic is the next question. The next verse where it says, and the man said, what is your name? Remember the last time he heard that question? It was when he walked in to his father pretending to be something he wasn't. He pretended to be something he wasn't to get something that was already his, but ended up getting a substitute. And at that moment, Jacob realized something. I don't want a blessing under somebody else's name anymore. Because when we receive it under somebody else, it's not ours. He had to come to grips with who he was and what he had done before he could receive the real blessing. And he said, what is your name? And Jacob said, my name is Jacob. I'm deceiver. I'm liar. I'm heel grabber. I'm broken. And I'm sinful. He came to grips with who he was. And when he revealed who he really was to God, that is when God chose to send true blessing on him. Because at that moment, his life turned around. His brother no longer wanted to kill him. Things started to change. He got to go back and see his father before his father passed away. Relationships were mended because the blessing of God came to his real person. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You may be in this room and you're sitting there going, but I'm broken and I'm messed up and I want the blessings of God. I'm so messed up though. Some of us have been trying to make the blessings of God happen in our lives. Listen, right now, if you're one of those that have been saying, you know what, I'm pretending to be something that I'm not. I'm pretending to be something that I'm not so that I can get something that's less than what God wants me to have. I don't know, maybe you're cheating in a certain way on taxes, or maybe you're trying to pretend to be something that you're not at work or in a situation, or you're trying to let things go in this area when you really need to handle it and you need to come to grips with who you are and what these habits are really doing to your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you today and you want to give your life to Christ and you want to say, God, I'm tired of pretending. I want your real blessing. I want who you are. I want to stand under that blessing of grace. I want to stand under that blessing of mercy. If that's you today and you want to change your life and you want to accept that blessing from God, right now all I ask you to do is raise your hand in the name of Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. All over the place, thank you. Anybody else, thank you. Anybody else, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, pour your spirit out over this room. Reveal your blessings to us today. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. If you raise your hand, then I'm going to ask you to take the hand of the person on the right or left of you. If you're comfortable doing that today, I'm going to ask you to take the hand of the person on the right and left of you. God, in the name of Jesus. And right now, I want you to start praying for the people beside you. You don't know whether they raise their hand or not. If you don't know their name, ask them right now. But you don't know if they raise their hand or not. But they need your prayers today, because they may be the one that raised their hand that said, I need to change. I need to change my name today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for these that raise their hands. That God, you would pour your spirit and your blessing out on them. That God, you would help them to understand that they don't have to pretend to be something that they're not. They don't have to pretend to be something that the world approves of. But that God, you have called them, and that you have sent blessing down upon them. You have sent promises to them that only they can lay claim to, but only if they do it under their own name, under their own character, who they are. God, in the name of Jesus, pour your spirit out over this place and remind us, God, remind us of our true name. Help us to understand who we are. I want everybody to say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, today I know who I am. I realize that I am a sinner saved by grace. Today, I hold on to your promises. I lay claim to your blessings, not those for somebody else, but the ones for me. And today, I will walk in them. And I will trust you to send them when you're ready. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God praise?